This is Pauline Jennings. Welcome to Musician Talk. Over the past four decades, Lori Dockin has performed at every major venue in the Twin Cities, from the Dakota to the Guthrie to the Ordway. A sought-after accompanist, she is also a successful concert producer, educator, vocal coach, arranger, and vocalist. And today, she is my guest on Musician Talk. One of Lori's superpowers is putting musicians, music, and vocalists together to create vibrant, diverse, and sold-out style programming. Another is her soulful, emotive singing and piano chops. She is extraordinary. I'm so proud to have her on the show, thrilled for a chance to get to know her better, and excited to introduce her to all of you. It's time to get some insight into Lori's musical life. It's time to talk with Lori Dockin. Welcome, Lori, to Musician Talk.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here with you, my pal, Pauline.
Oh, thank you, Lori. I'm so happy to have you, too. This is awesome.
Perfect.
Yes, exactly. And today we're going to, we're focusing not only on Lori's personal journey, her musical journey, but also the gig that you have with your group called Three that's coming up at Northfield Arts Guild on May 5th, which I want to talk about a little later. But first, let's dig into your musical journey. Like, when did you first start playing piano, and was that even your first instrument?
You don't know. The first performance I remember, I was like three and a half, not too much older than that.
Wow.
And at that point, my mom and dad had me in their 40s. So they're kind of like grandparents to me. I was the youngest of five, and they were calm. And then I feel sorry for them, really, because they had me last. And I'm like, oh, my God, because I kind of wore out all their last nerves. But the first thing I remember, my mom and my Aunt Margaret brought me to the nursing home in Benson. And they set me on a table. And I like knew the whole Lutheran hymnal by then. And so my Aunt Margaret played the piano, and I sang to the people for like 30, 45 minutes. And then I got to play checkers with the old guys and eat cookies. So
what a great reward.
I thought it was swell. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it again next week, you know?
And you were three.
I wasn't four. I was tiny, but it's
wow.
A vivid memory. Some of those young ones. And the other part I remember, it must have been in the winter, because they had me in a pretty dress my mom had made, and there was a muff you put your hands in, like ice skating. And they made me have that muff the whole time, because I would fidget and pull my dress over my head when I was singing and everything. So that, it's just vivid. And I can see the room right now, the color of the room, and Aunt Margaret over here, and
wow.
Playing all the hymns, and I sing all the verses. And
amazing. So
yeah.
So young to start and have that confidence, and so young that you were still pulling your dress over your head. I mean, another year or two, there'd be no way you would do that.
Just having fun singing. But then what's weird, and I discovered too, there's a big difference between confidence and ego. And
yeah.
And yes, confidence is just a comfortable feeling, and ego can really get you in trouble. The other part of that is I had severe stage fright until I was like in my 30s.
Wow.
But I kept going back and doing it. And I don't even know why. Like in college for juries, I was in the bathroom getting sick, and they'd knock on the door and go, it's your turn. Get out here and sing that aria.
Why do you think you kept going? What is that thing? What is that?
And here's the thread to today. A few years ago, maybe 10, I woke up. And I looked at the ceiling and I went, oh, I get it.
Oh.
I get this music stuff. Music's just the vehicle. And the execution of like bringing that magic into a room of people, that's why I kept walking through the stage fright. Because
yeah.
That air, and you connect. And there are hard things and hysterical things and emotional things. And you're using music as the words. You don't have to talk about it. You're just feeling it all together. You might be laughing or crying. And so I realized that music's just the vehicle, and I figured out I got so much more comfortable that as a career because I got to know myself by that point in life, and I was comfortable in my own skin. And so I went, wow, music has not a lot to do with it. The 99% of it is really figuring out who you are and how that whole thing operates in your life. And you're using this vehicle to like hang out with other folks and share things together. So
beautiful. That's a really, really great reason to walk through that door of stage fright onto. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Let's go back to when you were 4 or 5.
And
just take me on your journey.
Okay. So the piano playing started at Aunt Margaret's in her music room.
Aunt Margaret. She's fabulous.
I know. She was president of the Women's Christian Temperance Union back then.
Wow.
And she was a Christian for all of the beautiful parts of that word.
Nice.
Just no judgment, loving. Anyway, sitting there playing, I remember. And I think this is why I swing my feet now when I play. I was really short until I wasn't when I was like 15. And so at 5, I couldn't reach the pedals. And my dad taught me 3 chords. And he played the accordion. And my grandpa played the violin, Grandpa Emo, in his lap. And my uncle Ralph played the guitar. We played polkas, all in the key of C, because those are the 3 chords he taught me. And I remember swinging my feet. And that's when the piano thing started. And I have that piano, actually, in my dining room.
Really?
From the farm in, like, 1900 or something. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So when that started, I took some lessons. I always sang. And I played guitar for a while then. I toured Great Britain with a ecumenical singing group when I was 15, 16 for 3 weeks. I went to college at several colleges now in my life. I thought I'd be an opera singer. But always just music was huge growing up, and I took it along with me. And then my late teens, early 20s, I jumped out of college because I needed to like do some living to really soak it in. What I wanted to do, my grades went and I was, 4.0 to 2.8 in a couple of years. And I was like, I'm not focusing. This is terrible. So I moved to Texas and sold swimming pools, came back here. Then I moved to Chicago with the love of my life. And 6 months later, I got dumped.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh, no.
And I was a bartender, but I always told people I was a singer. And so this is where the part of my professional life started. So after I was so saddened by the breakup, I started singing at open mics. I'd always said I was a singer, and I thought, well, you should like put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
So I sang around at open mics, and I stayed in Chicago for a couple of months. And I went, I need to go back to Minneapolis, where I know people. It's a quieter town. I came back here, and 2 weeks later, I was singing at Sweeney's Champagne Bar.
Wow. How'd you get that gig? Do you remember?
I think I went and checked out like the Night Train and Sweeney's probably and saw folks singing and talked to the piano player, John Osnes, who was my pianist for a few years. Because I didn't play the piano then, I quit.
Really?
When I was 16 until I was late 20s, yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, my oldest sister was my teacher and I was a teenager. And I've played 3 recitals in my life. And the second one, when I was like 16, I was playing the entire Moonlight Sonata. And the last movement is killing. And the day of the recital, I still had not memorized 3 pages. And it had to be memorized.
Oh, no.
But I understood theory, so I memorized where it went, the chord structure.
Okay, that's so crazy.
I know.
That's crazy that you could play it with just knowing the chord structure. I mean, it's not like playing blues for crying out
loud. No, like I had to make up 3 pages. And my sister's personality was just the complete opposite of me, very snug. And this is how you do things. And on Christmas, you eat at 5:20 and you go to church at 7, just really. And I'm like, whatever. So she's in the front row about 8 feet behind me. And I got to those 3 pages and I just sounded it was better than Beethoven, what I played. And I could feel her eyes just burning through me going, I hate you. I hate you.
How dare you?
So after that, I just said, I can't. And she was my teacher because she was free. You know, I said,
Right.
you know what? I have my driver's license. I have a car. I'm going to get out of this small town at some point, and I can't do this anymore. So I just left it for a while.
Wow.
And we were fine later in life, but that was, you know, the unfortunate head banging of the oldest and the youngest. And
I get that.
so then I started again, gradually through my 20s. I sang around town. And then Jimmy Martin had opened the fantastic piano bar on the second floor of the Gay 90s. And he was there for 5 years. And he was going off to open his own club. And I had met him, and he said, you should take over this job. And I went, really? And he said, yeah. So it was 5 nights a week, 4 hours a night.
Wow.
It was great.
Yeah.
I was there for 11 years. So
Wow.
John Ossus played for me there for a couple of years. And then Dan Chouinard was my pianist for a year or two. And I thought, you know, I should play so that I can diversify. And if somebody's sick, I can cover myself and I don't have to always split the dough. So then I started playing again. And it was pretty painful for 2 years. I was not very
But you stuck with it.
you know what I did? It's
Wow,
that
good
piece,
for
it's that magic piece, you
you.
know? And music just happened to be the vehicle.
Well,
So yeah.
I'm so very, very pleased that you came back to piano, and that you have been, I mean, you have been instrumental in so much music and magic that happens in the cities. And you might have done that if you weren't playing piano, but it sure helps to have that instrument, right? That you can accompany and plan things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at the Woman's Club twice a month for the past 2 years, which is a great Monday experience. 5 to 7, parking next door. It's chill, and I call it casually professional
Nice.
because when you're sitting at the piano, and I have a different singer every week just comes in and sings, and we do, like I talked about the wheel earlier, the emotional wheel. You can cover all the textures and colors of life using music. And sometimes they might remember something I said about something the song was about, or a life experience that we're all having and sharing. And so it's a nice thread to have to try to make a difference for
Yeah.
everyone, you
Yeah.
know, and me included in our lives, because it's kind of noisy around us these days,
Oh, it
you
sure
know,
is.
and there are benefits of aging and then there are not.
You got it. You got it. And I bet we're going to hear a bunch, well, I bet we'll hear the whole wheel during the concert with Three on May 5th. Before we get to talk about that, it's time to turn to a song. Thank you for sharing your journey. Thank you, thank you. I mean, some of your journey. That's
Absolutely.
just a snippet, I'm sure I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first song is Papa Come Quick. This Bonnie Raitt covered, she didn't write the song, but she made it popular, right? It's her tune.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about this song. The groove is just so much fun. Did you arrange it from Bonnie's version?
Kind of. On Bonnie's recording, she has some parts on the little bridges, but the whole song really screams for some great, like, three-part harmony moving around with the whole stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we brought that in, and it's really fun. It's different every time we do it, and it just has that like an old-fashioned sit on the front porch feeling, a fun little tune. So yeah, we like it a ton.
Okay, and this is Three. This is Judy Vinar
This
and
is,
Rachel
yeah,
Holder
this is
and
a live recording. I souped up the audio a little bit on it, but it's not a studio thing by any means. You know, I just took some raw footage and then did a little finishing on it, but it's live.
so it's very representative of what people will hear at the concert on May 5th. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is Three performing Papa Come Quick.
Papa, come quick, Jody's gone to the city. What we gonna do now that Jody's gone? She left a note on the TV, and Papa is a pity. What we gonna do now that Jody's gone? this morning. She cried right through as the world turns. Seen it myself and Papa, it's a bitchin'. Let's haul ass before the baby gets burned. Cast up the old Ford, get out the road now. They got a head start about a half a day. Load up the shotgun, put it in the gun rack. Jody's with Chico down in East L.A. Tongue schemer, a girl like Jolie don't think for herself. Him and that honey and the damn jalapeno, smoking that stuff will make you hurt yourself. Papa, come quick. Papa, come quick. Papa, come quick.
Oh, Papa, come on now.
Papa, come quick. Jolie's gone to the city. What we gonna do now that Jody's gone? She left a note on the TV, and Papa, it's a pity. What we gonna do now that Jody's gone? Gas up the old Ford, get out the road map. They got a head start about a half a day. Stop at the mobile, pump up the flat wheel. Jody and Chico and his dang, dang, dee. Morning, she cried right through as the world turns. I seen it myself, and Papa, it's a vision. Let's all ask before the baby gets burned.
This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. My guest today is Lori Dockin, and you just heard her group Three perform the Bonnie Raitt tune called Papa Come Quick. Three is performing at the Northfield Arts Guild at 7 o'clock on May 5th. I love this groove, and I love when you are playing groove on piano. I love listening to you do that. It feels like that's your happy place. Maybe it's just because it's my happy place.
And you reminded me too of the challenge in that song. And I talk about it sometimes when we sing and play that song. You can't bend a piano note because they're half steps. Like a guitar, you can give it that thing.
Oh, sure.
But I do my darndest to try to like really mud them up. So I'll try to do that on May 5th too.
Awesome.
That's great. And these harmonies are just fabulous. You guys just lock in so well together. Awesome. Thank you for that. The next portion here is the quote of the week. And I picked this quote because I was just thinking about, you know, when you've lived a life in this business, as mm-hmm. you have, and how do you get to make things still new and fresh? And so here's the quote. It's a Carole King quote, first of all, who's a fabulous piano player, songwriter, and singer. Here it is. Not only do you want to leave the audience wanting more, you want to leave yourself wanting more. And so how do you do that?
It's kind of my nature too, and I've also discovered this with working in the industry. I call it, you reinvent the wheel every day. Even if like an opera singer will sing an aria and she'll sing it again the next night, but it will always feel differently because it's a different day.
Right.
So things have an inherent change to them, which is attractive to me because songs are like Joni Mitchell. Writing both sides now was different when she was younger. And today, the way she delivers it and what it means to her is different.
Very,
It keeps traveling. Well, Three, take us for an example. We started out with a basic, you know, group of things we really like doing, and we keep pulling things in. So it's always malleable.
Nice.
And we might tear a song apart a little bit and do it in a different style or a different groove or a different key, the audience wanting more. To piggyback on that, yes, and us wanting more, yes. And the other piece that has really hit me in the past couple of years is when people leave, we talk about the wheel, give them all kinds of flavors and styles and thoughts. So when they leave, you can feel that they've all like exhaled, just like we have on stage. And you go like, oh man, I feel better.
Oh, that's...
So that's kind of how I view it. And I've done surveys and everybody says, yes, I feel like I can breathe again and things will be okay.
The power of music. That is, that's why we do it. It's because it's so fresh. Every time it's a little different and you get a little different energy and a little zing. That's so fun. It's so fun. That's
And I think we work so hard before we step up on a stage because not to have things perfect in no way, shape or form, but to be prepared. So things will go wrong. Hopefully it's a small thing, not a big thing.
Right.
But when you sit down, it's like, all the work and the rehearsal's done. And here we are. We're going to live it now. We get to live the tune.
It's hard to get there if you're not prepared. I think that if you're not prepared, you don't necessarily have that feeling of, I want to do it again when you're done. I mean, unless
because you have a fear.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God, I can't play this song very well, but now here I am in front of 500 people.
Exactly.
Just my last thought is that I try hard to not try hard. So when you do sit down, you can play two notes that are brilliant. Or you can play eight notes that are brilliant too, but it gives you choices. Mm-hmm. So to just feel that comfort and you're in the middle of the song and you're just living through it until it's over at the end and you go, aha.
Aha.
So that quietness.
And when you have the stress, when you're not calm, when you're stressful or stressed out, it's hard to have, you don't have as many choices. Because your brain,
your head is all
well.
Full.
Right, exactly. Okay, so folks, chill. Yep. That's really hard for me. I'm a fast talker and a fast thinker and blah, 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 and everything's a little bit heightened. And so, boy, I need your chill pill. Really
do. See, this is actually a self-help kind of podcast type deal, radio show experience, and we're just using music talk.
Exactly. That's yes. Okay, so three, let's talk a little bit about that. How long ago did you guys get together and start doing your stuff?
Probably 8-ish years ago. We'd all worked, like Judy and Rachel, I'd all worked together in different configurations. A while ago, I had a group called The Girls, Debbie Duncan, Aaron Schwab, Judy and myself. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of morphed and we added Rachel into the mix. We added Patty Peterson into the mix. And then that changed because Aaron got really busy with her career. Debbie left us.
Yes.
And so it changed. So you get other folks involved, and when your personalities gel and your like your demeanor, your calm, and musically you get it. It's so fun to live a song vertically rather than just horizontally.
What does that mean?
So you have. Well, a song is forward motion. It's usually a melody, somebody singing it.
Yeah.
So you have that going on, but then you expand it like with all these parts now and again in a vertical sense to pad it up. Right. And sometimes it goes back to one line. So you live it in two ways, just in forward motion going through the time of the song and also like the fullness that you can give to it in the texture.
Wow. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have different compilations of singers that I've put together. And three has been fun because it's like our heads hear the parts. We've sung together a ton and we're able to really feel like one voice because we're innate in that. So yeah, we started hanging out and doing some gigs.
And I'm so happy that you did. And that Papa Come Quick, that first voice, those, even though it's not done in the studio and mixed down to however close you can get to perfection that you can get, but you can't get all the way there. It does sound like one voice. Yes. I like that. This next song, however, does not sound like one voice because it's all these layers. And I had to pick this song because I'm so impressed that you do it. You know, I'm part of a Simon and Garfunkel tribute show, and we do not do the song, not yet, because it's to try to figure out what arrangement we want to do with the voices that we have. I haven't cracked that nut yet, but you have, and it sounds beautiful. Oh my goodness, it's so beautiful.
Now and again, you run across songs that are just haunting. But I love this one because it also had the weave of of the different the canticle thrown in.
Right.
So I said, "Hey, let's do it. Okay, who starts? Rachel, you start. Okay, Judy, you do the canticle. All right, Lori, well, I'll come in here." And that's how it's.
That's how you arranged it.
Yeah, nothing's written down, except we kind of need to have road signs, like who's going to start and who's going to sing that.
Right.
And I love having an instrumental section, because in that key, in the minor key, and with the structure, harmonic structure of the tune, there's so many suspensions, and just like you can give it a lot of tension,
yep,
which adds to the haunt of the sound. So that's why I dig it.
I feel like some of the harmonies that you're doing, it's not just a minor. They sound so haunting and so a little off kilter, I guess, when you have sustains or however you would describe that. But
yeah,
they're very interesting harmonies as well, aren't they?
Like three notes that are a step apart sometimes feel just like the right thing. And you're like, yeah. And then they go, and they're right. Gone.
They or they resolve and you go, oh.
You open up to the world.
But I also love non-resolution at the end of a tune, but I don't do it too often because I don't want to piss anybody off.
Okay, or make them too uncomfortable, for crying out loud. Okay.
I know.
So folks, here is three performing with Lori Dockin on vocals and piano, along with Rachel Holder and Judy Vinar doing Simon & Garfunkel's song, Scarborough Fair.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Remember me to one who lives there.
You're listening to Musician Talk, and I'm your host, Pauline Jennings. Today, my guest is Lori Dokken, and you just heard her group 3 perform the Simon and Garfunkel tune called Scarborough Fair. Yeah, those harmonies. Haunting is such a great word for it. And the canticle, Judy up there, and she does it so... What's the word? It's different from haunting. It's beautiful comes to mind, but you know.
Just fluid and floating.
Yes.
That's so it's not, it. She sings it in a way that it makes perfect sense that that is happening.
Yes.
With what else is going on.
Exactly.
That they're working in tandem. It's not something that's, there's no tension between the two and it doesn't need to be showcased. It just becomes one with everything else, which is great.
It's beautiful. And your piano playing is really beautiful as well. And all the unresolvedness in it is very, it is pleasing. It's pleasing.
Yeah.
Okay, Lori, we have to move on, unfortunately. But for good is that the section coming up is best gig, worst gig. Have you thought of this? And of course, it doesn't have to be your best or your absolute worst. But we like to laugh at our, you know, this problem that we have. And so, and celebrate the big achievements.
How about not worst gig? How about the oddest gig that I've had? Yeah. Early on, when John Ozzis was my pianist and they had the All-Star game in town. And that's when I wore dresses when I was singing too, because I was standing up. We got booked to play at JCPenney's downtown over the noon hour. Wow. Every day, and they built this platform that barely fit an upright piano and me standing next to it. And we were there all week long, and intermittently, about every third song, I had to announce there were hot dogs this way for like 50 cents each, and baby races were the other ways.
And wait, baby races? Is that
baby races, like crawling, yeah. So I'm trying to be a serious, you know, jazz singer at that point. In a dress, barely fitting on stage. It was way too high. It was like 3 feet high. And
oh, no.
Singing like I was, you know, oh my gosh. In a lobby at a department store in downtown Minneapolis over lunch hour, then announcing hot dogs and baby races. So that might have been the oddest one. But they paid me, which was my motivation in my 20s, is to get paid.
Well,
and
awkward.
Best gigs, you know, there's just a myriad.
Yeah.
There's a show that I produced called Women on the Moon. It features mm-hmm. the female vocalists of the 60s.
Yes.
And we were just at the Musical Instrument Museum in Phoenix last week, and we sold it out.
Wow.
So you're just like, wow, that it felt so great. People's interest in it. And many, many people said, oh my gosh, this is the greatest show I've seen here. They just, so it's that always feels good.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
And filled with yes. wonderful and beautiful women.
Oh my God,
all
just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're sold out for this Sunday at Chanhassen with that show now.
Wow.
And the other thing I say is my favorite gig, and it really is. In December, the Ordway hires me to do the pre-show and intermission piano playing in the atrium.
Mm.
Beautiful 9-foot Steinway that I love. It's the only piano I feel snobbish over. Otherwise, I'm fine with playing whatever. It's so great because I get to play Christmas music and a lot of short people come, like kids, because they do like Cinderella and all these magical productions. So that's my favorite.
I bet you the acoustics in there are fabulous too.
It is. And,
yeah.
And you know, one mother, and I love kids, and I let them play with me, and I'm good. You don't even have to discipline them because I'm just soft and I'm like, okay, I have to play now. You have to go watch the show. So to just, you never know when later in life they might become an actor or a singer.
Right, right.
And the one time I got my best compliment there was this group of girls, there were like 5 of them. They came in as Cinderella when Cinderella was there. And last year they just came back and they're in college now because I've been there a long time to say hello.
Oh, nice.
So like when they came as Cinderella, their moms were there, and at intermission, the little girls went running back in, and one mom bent over and said to me, "You're like a human Muppet." And I went, "Yes,
human Muppet.
That is the best
that
thing
is.
I've ever heard. You're helping me make sense of who I am. Oh my God."
That is fabulous, and how sweet that is. Awesome.
It was.
Well, Lori, you have not just three, that's not the only group you're part of, you're doing all sorts of things. And so I want people to be able to find you. But before that, I want to give some details on the concert that's coming up at the Guild with three. And speaking of, Judy and you and Rachel have all played all the major stages, as well as three has. And it's so awesome to have you down in Northfield at this little intimate 100-seat theater.
Oh.
What a great place to see the three of you. And so I'm just encouraging you out there, if you're listening, this will be such a treat. And you know what? It would be a great gift for Mother's Day. Mother's Day is the next Sunday. And
yeah.
So get this for your mom, bring her, and I guarantee that you will leave feeling better. And that's what we want, isn't it?
It's true. Absolutely. I love Northfield. And I was so glad when you contacted me to do something in your series. And it's just a great thing. And a great town. And I look forward to being there.
Oh,
on
good.
May 5th.
And it's at 7 o'clock, and you can get tickets. You can come down to the Guild downtown at 304 Division. Call 507-645-8877. Of course, you can also go online at northfieldartsguild.org. .org. So Lori, where can people find your other
Very
shows
cool.
that are coming up?
You know, if you go to loridokken.com, loridokken.com, I have some updating to do, but there are many different shows coming up. We have Women on the Moon. I have a show called Here Comes the Sun. A bunch of women, we pick our favorite Beatles tunes. Oh. I have a historical spoken word and music. It's kind of theatrical. It's called Shout Sister Shout. That'll be at Chanhassen next fall. In October, Stuart, Pastor Patty Peterson's husband, and I book things together.
Nice.
And we're going to be booking some things at the Women's Club Theater from May through October. The Fierce Mothers of Minneapolis, which is like six A-list women in town. And Aaron Schwab's doing a Bette Midler thing. In October, I'm doing something called Our Voices, Our Choices, to kind of rally the vote.
Nice, nice.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff coming up. Check back often, because I'm a company of one, and I try to get to it weekly, but sometimes 2 weeks might go by.
Right.
So just keep checking back. You can sign up to be on an email list. I send out maybe one or two a month, and we sure would love to see you at there's not two of me. I would love to see you and my other friends. So we would love to see you at things coming up. And we, Judy, Rachel, and I really hope to spend some time with you on May 5th in Northfield. And we appreciate it.
Yes. You must be one of the busiest producer / musician / actor / everything else in the cities. You are doing, I mean, that list you just gave is phenomenal. I mean, it's, if you had the same show and you booked it a lot, that's one thing, but having all these different combinations of people and songs is, I bow down to you. That's all I can say. That's fabulous. Fabulous. So thank you. People go to Lori Dokken, loridokken.com to get her whole list of the projects she's going in. And thank you so much for squeezing Musician Talk into this hugely busy schedule.
Thank you, my friend. Hey, you guys should never miss Musician's Talk with Pauline Jennings when it airs. I highly endorse.
Thank you very much.
Great.
All right. Take care, Lori. Bye-bye.
You as well. See you soon.
Many, many thanks to Lori for sharing her insights and musical life with us today. Thanks also to the wonderful Wendy Nordquist and to you, dear listener, for tuning into Musician Talk on the One. KYMN. Have a splendid day.